I'm going to pass the Molly and Hippo around. You get it first, Paul, okay? So take good care of it. We'll let it go all the way around and then come back to Glenn. So at the end of the message, of course, I have to find out if you've got it. Okay. Oh, no. But it is. It's teak wood, and it's got some nice colors in it. So take a look at it. We really appreciate it from Tom and Laura, and we appreciate their ministry that they have. And tonight, we'll be answering questions, okay? So if you can think of some questions, I have lots of questions I could ask them. But I will yield, and we'll ask them lots of questions together and some of the things we're doing. Tonight's going to be a lot of fun. I've never baptized an entire family at one time. We're going to start with the grandparents, the parents, and then the children are all going to be baptized. So that's going to be fun, isn't it? That's going to be really different. I look forward to that. Yeah, so come back. That'll be just a great time. One piece of announcement is that we do have a business meeting next Sunday. So I want to make sure you understand that. That'll be a quarterly business meeting. And those of you who are members need to participate and be with us for that meeting. I know it's Palm Sunday, but it'll be a short meeting. It won't last long. Just a meeting for accountability that happens. You know, his father was getting older. There was a fear that his stubbornness and his obstinacy of living alone was ultimately going to take a toll, and he wasn't going to be able to take care of himself. He wasn't eating well. His personal hygiene had became a thing of the past. He wasn't washing his clothes. He wasn't taking care when he spilled his food on his clothing that was there. So one of his grown sons decided that he would go and he would talk to his father and want to ultimately live there because hard times had fallen on him and he had no place to stay. And he thought, I'll go and I'll live with my father in my father's house where I grew up and I'll take care of my father. It was a great idea. It was a wonderful proposition of what was going to take place. And yet his offer to move in with his father when he got there to take care of him and repair the home that it was there resulted in an explosion of anger. The father was upset that anybody would dare think that he couldn't take care of himself, and the son was upset that he made the special offer and the dad wasn't willing to accept anything that he was going to offer in that particular position. And so both of them became very angry. The son who had offered to stay with him finally said, listen, I'm really tired of all of this and of you, and the last time I will see you will be in your casket. The father said, fine, that's good with me. I don't ever have to see you or talk to you again either. You know, our relationships sometimes become difficult, and we want to think in terms of restoring relationships. We want to think in terms of how can we make it better when we have these kind of arguments and two people simply walk away and maybe we'll never see each other again. We wonder about that situation and the things that are going to happen. Well, that brings us back to our study for today. Our study is on relationships. Our study is really all about reconciliation. So we're going to give you a little test today. I need a little bit of feedback from you. For 2 weeks ago, if you were here 2 weeks ago, would you raise your hand? Okay, you all committed to answer this question. Okay, I'm glad I saw the hands that I saw out there in committing. Our word 2 weeks ago in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and his death was what? Propitiation. And what does it mean? It means sacrifice. Something specific about that sacrifice. It was a substitution. That's the word vicarious. We don't want to get too carried away with vicarious, although the propitiation was vicarious on our part. Propitiation really means that he absorbed the wrath of God. Okay? Now, some people like to say, well, he deflected it. You know, he's kind of like a shield that stands around us. I want you to know that's not the imagery that's given in the Scriptures at all. The idea in the Scriptures is that he bore our punishment. He bore the wrath of God on our behalf. He accepted, hanging on that cross, and with the whippings and all that they did to him, he accepted the wrath of God on our behalf. We deserved the whippings, the beatings, and the crucifixion. But he accepted that for us. He became our propitiation. What was the next word, the next week? How many were here the second week after that? Well, good, there's only one hand. Very good, this is really going to be easy. There was only one hand. You weren't looking in the back forward. I hope you get it right too. Ransom is the right word, all right. We talked about ransom. Now, what does it mean?
In place
of. Okay. Okay, that's what we're going to come down to, that it was the ransom, a life for a life, okay? That he became our ransom for us in that situation. Who did he ransom us from?
God.
Exactly right. It was God that he gave the ransom to. It was the sacrifice that he offered to the Father, and he took it to the Father, and the Father accepted it. It's the wonder of the resurrection, that the resurrection is the very fact that God looked upon Jesus Christ in all of that wrath that he poured out upon him, and as a ransom who could ultimately pay the price, because no one, nobody, nowhere could pay that penalty except for Jesus Christ. And so we're working our way. So today, and in a couple weeks, we'll ask these questions again, right? The word we want to talk about today is reconciliation. Reconciliation. It has a little nicer tone to it, doesn't it? It kind of has a great ring to it. That concept of reconciliation and what we're going to be talking about here and some of the things that are going on. So, in lieu of that, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There are a lot of places we could go, and we're only actually going to look at two today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right, if you're in 2 Corinthians 5, cast down to verse 18. We're going to read verse 18 and 19. Follow along as I read. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled to us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in explanation, if you will, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Let me get you in a little different translation. All of this is a free gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Very significant that we think about that. And it ends like this: no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the concept of reconciliation, of something that's going to happen that's so very interesting. We have in this story here a father, if you will, and we have in the story here the sons, the people that are here. God walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. As far as we can tell in those early chapters of Genesis, in that first chapter, it was a marvelous relationship. And he would come in the cool of the evening, and they would walk together, and they would talk, and they would dialogue. They had a relationship. Things were great. Things were wonderful. I mean, I'm kind of pulling out of the text, but I think that's the idea that they're giving to us about Adam and God and the relationship that they had, until one day, Adam chose to do it his own way. Adam chose his way over God's way. He made a deliberate choice. And in that moment in time, he turned his back on God. And he said, no more. It's been great. It's been wonderful. I don't know that he said that. But he turned his back and he walked away. And I need you to understand that there's a repercussion from that very fact. Because you need to understand that God also turned his back. And he said, when you sin, I can have nothing to do with you. For the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. So just like the father in the story before, as they got angry with one another and they decided to just go their own separate ways, I'll see you in the casket, I don't care if I ever talk to you again, there was a separation between God and man. And there seemed to be no spanning the gulf until God makes a declaration, which was really before the foundations of the world, that he said, I have a plan. And the plan is this: I love you, and I'm going to provide a way to be reconciled. There is a way, and I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to face you squarely. And I'm going to give the answer. I'm going to give you some hope. For you see, with the father and the son in the early story, one of them finally has to say, you know what? I don't care. I love my dad and I'm going back. Or the father says, you know what? I love my son. I need to talk to him. I need to establish that relationship. And it all is on the part of the individual who wants reconciliation. That's where it lies. And so with God, he said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to make a way for us to be reconciled. And I'm turning squarely around. You know what verse we like to say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, he gave the world his Son. He gave it to him. And there's a difference here, though, in the concept of reconciliation and what is being done. Sometimes you would look at those two and you would say, well, who blinked first? Who made the first move? God makes the first move. It is God that reaches down to man. It is God that says, I have a plan. Man still has his back turned. To this very day, there are still people that are over here like this. I want to do it my way. This is what I want. This is where I'm going. I really don't need you, God. Don't bother me. If you're one today, I want to tell you that God is reaching out to you. He's speaking to you. And he's saying, I have made a way for us to be reconciled. I have made a pattern for you. Turn with me, if you will, out of 2 Corinthians to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 6, and I want to read down through here, because this is the concept of the reconciliation of our God on our behalf. Well, actually, you know what? Let's look at verse 10 first. Yeah, let's not get carried away here. Verse 10. For if when we were friends, we were reconciled. Is that what it says? If when we were buddies, we were reconciled. No. What does it say? Any other words used in any of the translations you have? Here's the concept. Hostile. That's the word that's used here. That's the word that we can pull out. It means the word hatred, hostility. That this wasn't, you know, we can think, well, I have an enemy, but we get along, we rub shoulders, and it goes on, and it's okay. No. That's not the idea here. It's that the individual that has turned their back and live in sin are hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hate the very concept of the gospel. They don't like what it says. They don't want to participate in it. They have walked away. That's the idea that is here. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the, what? Death of his Son. This is the reconciliation work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And the reconciliation to God came through the death of his Son. That when he died, he was able to reconcile. It goes back to that idea of propitiation, that he suffered the wrath of God on our behalf. He had never sinned. He suffered it for us. And he became a ransom, and that the price was paid. And it was a life for a life. A life had to be given for another life that was there. And reconciliation comes through the Lord Jesus Christ in his death. And it's God who makes the first step. Now back to verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The idea here is when we were without strength. The concept here, as he speaks about it, is this. When we were utterly helpless, we couldn't make the move. We couldn't turn around. We didn't have the strength or the will to make a turn. It was only when God did something for us that he reached out to us in the reconciliation. We couldn't make a move toward reconciliation or restoration, for we lived in hatred and hostility toward him. It also goes on to say that Jesus came just at the right time. I think my question for you today is, when was your right time? Has there been a right time for you? When you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus? When you finally, the truth has so overcome you that there's nothing else you can do but say, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you today. I can't go another day. I remember reaching that point in my own life where it was finally, Lord, I know the truth. I need to respond. I need to do something. Well, I needed to make a sacrifice or have a fetish where I put all these feathers together and burn them on the stove. No. It was that my action was to believe the truth. You know what? People say, it's too easy. It's too easy. I need to do something. You know, I need to work harder. Lord, you need to punish me a little bit here. Lord, I need something. No. It says you need to believe the truth. Actually, if you look at the book of Romans, it says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Yeah. And thou shalt be, that's old King James, thou shalt be. I don't know where I got that. Saved. Past tense, over, completed, lock, stock, and barrel, done. He has finished the job. And that it means full reconciliation. Face to face. Talking. Praying. Reading. Understanding. Probing the depths of who we are and who we are in Jesus Christ. It's the reconciliation that we have. Verse 6, look at verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. And we have stories in our cultures about people who give their lives. We read about them, the individual who dives on the grenade in World War II so his buddies don't blow up with that grenade and gives his life. Those are significant statements in time. I'm willing to give my life for someone else, okay? Because they're my buddies. We're in it together. But what if it was the enemy's grenade and it was all the enemy who was around? Would he dare jump on that grenade? Or would he let them all die? You see, the reconciliation of God is this. We hated him. We were hostile. The Word of God says we were enemies, and he still died for us. He still gave his life for us. It is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ that I don't have to die in that rebellious bitterness of my life. But I can be reconciled to the God of the universe. Man, when you look at the words of Scripture and you plunge into the depths of what they have to say, our God loved us so much. That he was willing to die for us. Continue, verse 8. But God demonstrated, now but is a movement of away from the previous passage and saying that's the way it is in our lives, but listen to what happens in the spiritual realm. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Woo! Man, there should be a hallelujah, praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Wow, let's give him an applause. Yeah, this is tremendous what our God has done. In the spiritual reckoning of things, he's accomplished it on our behalf. Verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Go back to that propitiation. Through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I'm in the family of God, and I belong to him. Wow. Wow. All of these things that he did for us. And we're just touching the surface. I mean, we only got a couple of weeks before Easter that we started this, and we're just barely scratching the things that he has done. You cannot imagine all that has been accomplished on our behalf. Well, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we started. Verse 18. We've already looked at the passage in the Scriptures. But I hope it makes more sense to you now. Well, let's go up to 17. 17 is kind of cool. Therefore, now this is a word that really says, in conclusion, I'm bringing it all, wrapping it up right now. The sermon's about over, okay? We're coming to the end. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things, okay, are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Okay? Now, if you want to make this a little more personal, I would like to say, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling Mike to himself. That's what it really boils down to. I mean, the world's a big concept. Woo! You know, all the people that have lived, all the people that are going to live, all the people that are. I like to boil it down to me. What has he done? This is what he has accomplished on my behalf. Not imputing their trespasses to them. In other words, not saying, you're really responsible. Belongs to you. What do I want to do anything for? Not shuffling them off on that individual. But he goes on to say in this particular passage, not imputing their trespasses to them. The word we like to hear is that he forgave our sins. And finally, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So you are taught these things and you know these things because you become part of the reconciliation process. To whom? To the people you will see tomorrow. The people you work with. To the people that God will bring into your presence. To the people you have an opportunity to speak to. You need to talk about our God and the hope that we have in him. Because without him, we're lost. And we need what he gives to us. What does man do? He tries to make it a process. He tries to make it work. And what God says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, it's accomplished. Too easy. Too easy. Too simple. Absolutely. It is. Because God thought it up. God prepared it for us. And he did all of the work in Christ. In Christ. And that's what we constantly come back to. Yeah. And on the resurrection day, we're going to celebrate, because we're going to see that all of this was accepted by the Father, and he brings him forth from the grave, and he comes forth in all the newness of life. And that life becomes our life and what we can have. I want you to watch this video. I wanted to show it to you at the end. It's just, you need to be able to read to follow it through. But it's really interesting as it really describes for us hope that we have in him. Thank you. Circumstances that seem impossible. Hope that he gives to us. It's the opposite of evil. The opposite of being pinned down by sin in your life. It is the hope that God has something greater for us. It is a hope that resides here. And you are changed as a person because you have hope. Your circumstances don't change. Life doesn't get any easier, but hope allows you to live through it, to live in the midst of it, and to know that you have someone who stands in you and gives you life, gives you life. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. As we move our way toward that Resurrection Sunday, as we think about the event of his death and what it meant, there are so many varying shades to the very death of Jesus Christ and what it means for us. And we constantly remember over and over that it was not for him. For he who knew no sin became sin for us. And the wrath of God that was poured out upon him, he didn't deserve, but he took our place as a sacrifice, as a substitution for me. Father, I pray on this day if there are any here who have never taken that step of full belief, trust, this day they would simply say, no more of me and more of you. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe what you did on the cross, and I give my life into your hands. I need hope. I need assurance. I need to know that you will be with me forever and ever. And he promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, Lord. In the midst of the dreariness of our day and the difficulty in those who are rebellious and are haters of our God, may we be a people who stand boldly and say, I have hope in Jesus Christ. And there is hope for you. Because God loves his enemies. And he sent his son to pay the penalty for their sins as well. May we be the conveyor of reconciliation with God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.